Good morning, everybody. I was waiting for my spotlight, but I guess I don't get one this morning. All right. A few announcements for us before we start our service, or start a message here. We have a fellowship meal this afternoon. Yay? Yes? After the service, you're invited to join us for food. Looks like it says chicken and dressing. So that sounds good. On Wednesday, we have our regular Wednesday evening, Wednesday activity. So at 9 a.m., we have Touch Point with Pastor Stephen Joyce. The title is In Christ You Are Enough, Being Led by the Spirit, Part 9. Those are all archived if you want to go back and look at those at TCC or 10strikecommunitychurch.com. At 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, we have Amplify Youth Group. We also have kids activities available. And one other announcement here is that on Saturday, May 18th, there is it says Celebrate Jesus with One Voice Bemidji. There will be family food and fellowship. It's a free event from 3:30 to 6:30 at Nymore Park. There's that kind of see there on that graphic, but you'll be able to get more information out in the foyer there. As always, we don't pass a plate around here for tithes and offerings and giving. Here at 10 Strike, we have boxes on the back, those black boxes by the doors for our giving are available. Before we move on here, I just wanted to talk about my night last night. You want to hear about my night last night? Okay, let's hear about my night last night. Last night, I wake up at 3 in the morning, my wife snudging at me, and I out of my slumber, right, because I, my name's Peter, and Peter means rock, and I sleep like one, okay, and my daughter's crying doesn't tend to always wake me up, but my wife, she's not as quite a deep a sleeper, thank goodness, right, and so she's nudging me awake, and she says, Peter, it's one of those nights, right, and as parents, you know, daughter's 1 year old now, and sometimes you just have one of those nights. And she says, she's been awake multiple times. I haven't really been asleep at all. Can you take a turn, right? And I say, sure, I'll go in. And I venture out, right, into the darkness of her room where she's screaming, you know, yelling, crying. And, you know, I find her in the dark, and she lays down, and I rub her stomach, and she's quiet, right? And I'm standing there in the dark, and I was there for quite a while, so I had some time to think, right? So some of the things I was thinking about as I was with her, oh, I see her coming through the door right now. Didn't take her nap either. That's great. morning. There she is. So I'm in the dark with Vela, my daughter, and I'm thinking about what I'm doing in that moment, right? I was called, right, out of the comfort of my bed, out of the comfort of sleep, to go do something uncomfortable, right? I'm called into, it's pitch black in my daughter's room. It's kind of got this breezy airiness. She has these sound machines running, so that it's, you know, maybe a little spooky or whatever. And you're standing there in the dark, you know, I don't have any clothes on, it's cold. And I'm rubbing her stomach, and I have to bend way over the crib, and so my back is aching, and it's uncomfortable, it's dark. But in that moment, I'm with her. I'm giving my comfort to her. She is quiet, she's calm, and when I lift my hand off her, she cries again, so I have to keep doing it, right? And in those moments, I was realizing what part of comforting, part of the calling to bring compassion to people requires sacrifice. It requires standing in dark places, doesn't it? The other thing I was thinking about is, I was just doing this once. This is like the first time I've had to really do something like this in a long time. But over the last year, I think my wife has had to get up in the middle of the night to do something similar hundreds of times. And I was just contemplating my wife last night as I was standing in the dark, and how impressed I am with her, and how much I appreciate her. And I was thinking about, wow, she really, I'm recognizing in this moment how much she's been showing me this last year, what the sacrificial compassion of Jesus can look like. It's not always something that you see or notice. I mean, I was sleeping through it. I didn't know what it was really like to get up and be awake in the middle of the night and serve your child that way in that darkness. So I was thinking about that in the days to come, and maybe right now we have lots of opportunities to be afraid, right? We have lots of opportunities to join in a larger conversation of anger and fear and darkness. But I think we're called to sacrifice that a little bit, sacrifice our desire to join in, instead stand for something hopeful, something comforting, to be the hand in the darkness that quiets the fear and quiets the things that are happening in this world. So I just want to pray over this morning. I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to serve. I thank you for the people who are serving quietly in the dark places in this world, serving their children, serving their husbands, serving their wives, serving this community that are unseen, that are unthanked. Jesus, you see them, and you want them to know, if they are listening now, that their sacrifices of compassion are meaningful and worthwhile and are doing good in this world, that you are being the hands and feet of Jesus. You are being Jesus in this world. And I just encourage us all this morning to open our eyes to see the places where we can step in and be Jesus. So, Jesus, we thank you for that opportunity this week and this year. All right. So we're calling up the pastoral selection committee this morning. I think I'm handing it over to Scott here. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Good morning. If you're on the pastoral selection committee, would you please come forward? Last week, Pastor Steve announced that a pastoral search committee had been formed, and so today we would like to introduce the members of this committee, and there are two individuals who aren't able to be here with us, and that would be Pastor Dean and Doug Cootley. Gus. Gus Shogren. He's trying to get out of it. But I just first of all want to thank all of you for your coverings and your prayers. I know you have been praying over this decision. And I also want to just thank so much the team, because it has been kind of a grueling task so far. We've, just this week alone, we have been in meetings at least 6 hours. And so I just really thank all of you for your dedication and your commitment. And as a team, it's our heart's desire that we would hear the Spirit of God, that we would walk in the wisdom that comes from God in the selection of a leader who is chosen by God for Tent Strike in this next season. And so that is our heart's desire. And so we have Andrew Erholtz, of course, Pastor Steve, Joan Pomp, Lauren Van Tassel, Gus Shogren and myself, and then Pastor Dean and Doug Cootley. I didn't ask earlier, but is Mark Van Tassel, would you mind coming forward, and would you mind praying over us as a team?
Oh, let's pray. Father, we know that you know the future. You know what's in store in this country, in this church, and for each family that's involved here. We just ask in the name of Jesus that you would move through these men and women and show them the path to follow. Show them the leader that you have in mind for this church. We thank you for your wisdom. We just ask that you would show each one a specific promise, a specific need, or a specific way to move forward here, Father. We just thank you for it. We have lots of questions, but God, you have all the answers, and we thank you for that. We just pray super abundant wisdom for each one on the team, Lord. And we pray for unity, that we would know that we know that this is the way to go, because you showed it to each one of them and to our whole church body, Lord. We just thank you for that, and we pray an anointing on each one, Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son. We thank you that you're leading this team into truth, into accuracy, and into fulfillment of your purposes here in this area, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. One of the core verse that's come up multiple times as we've been meeting and discussing is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So we're going to meet immediately after church, before we eat. Thank you.
As a church family, we are going to stand together in love through this process. And we are believing together. You know, like Mark said, we have a lot of questions, but he has the answers. And he knows exactly who the person will be.
The Lord does, not Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Well, maybe all we need to do is ask Mark. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, the message is the calling of God. And Peter gave the intro to it. The calling. You had the calling from Linnea. You had the calling from Novella.
Called into Novella's dark room. Part of the calling is sacrifice for others. Thank you, Peter.
So unknowingly, you see, that's how the Lord does things. See? I mean, he paves the way, he makes the way, and he brings it forth by his Spirit. But the callings of God to ministry are many and varied. They are, all of us have callings from God.
Yes.
We must seek the Lord for what calling is calling in ministry for us in our lives. And we've spoken through the years so often that we believe that every believer is a minister. Minister of God, a minister of his love. And so that fits there. You know, we are going to talk about the calling of pastor, too, in a few minutes. But the truth is, we want all of you to realize that you have a calling on your life, where you are and where what you do. One of the things that we're called to is fellowship with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9, we're called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship, that's the word koinonia. That means a sharing, a partnership, a communion, an interchange, exchange, speaking to him, listening to him, that kind of thing. All of us are called to that. We're also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that we have the ministry of reconciliation, so we're called to that. the ministry of reconciliation. And that's helping people to get reconciled to God. But it can be other and relational levels too. We're called to be ministers of reconciliation. And we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're called to be his ambassadors here on this earth. And like, there's a calling like music ministry. That's a call.
Yes.
I mean, one person can have more than one call, I believe. Like, that's a calling. And what a ministry that is. It ministered to me. I believe it did to you too this morning, but it's to the Lord. And then I had a text from my sister Chris this morning that they weren't going to be able to be here. They'd be watching later online. But that they were going to be ministering in music. And it's with Jimmy and Misty Wiley in their church that
today.
They attend.
You're talking about today.
Today, this morning. And then Nate Wash. And I'm not sure, but possibly Phyllis Krogsing is there. She has been speaking there quite often. Then later on in Cass Lake, they'll be ministering. And so that's ministry. You know, it just hit me. You know, there it is. It's happening. I mean, people do it. But Joyce has a book here by someone that some of you know. I'll let you go ahead with that.
Well, so Steve knew the message for Sunday, and he printed out the notes for me, and I read it, and I said, I thought of this book, Paul Gazelka, Marketplace Ministers. And he says, well, you share that part. And so I'm going to summarize. Paul, years back, was an elder here for some years. This is what he said. Usually on Sundays, in his local church, he would lead in different ways, especially by teaching and equipping believers. But there were times on Sundays he'd be asked to lead a men's conference or speak elsewhere. And he loved doing that, being in ministry for the Lord. But he said, when Monday morning came, I opened the doors of my insurance agency for business. Through my business alone, I interact with almost 2,000 families. I don't just talk about insurance. I relate with my customers on a spiritual level as well. Now, I want you to think about those of you that work different places, your place of employment. God has put me in a strategic position to provide compassion and care for people in a variety of situations. You see, I'm a marketplace minister. The marketplace for me happens to be in the financial service industry, but for you, it's wherever God has placed you in an occupation. I'm called to ministry, he says, but I'm also called to the marketplace. God has raised me up to be a person of influence for his kingdom, outside the conventional church walls. In this way, I rub shoulders with people from all walks of life. He has also called me to minister within the traditional church walls. But it took me a long time to figure out that being in both roles was not only okay in God's eyes, but it was actually very good in his view. God is doing a new work in the earth today. He's accomplishing his purpose, not just through those he has called through conventional full-time ministry roles, but also through people whom he has called while remaining in their professional trade. He wants to maximize their usefulness and influence for his kingdom through their vocational calling. Then Paul says, in no way do I want to minimize the current role of the pastor or other professional ministers, those paid for their work in ministry. They are vital to the plan of God for helping to fulfill the Great Commission, but they clearly cannot do it alone. Being in the marketplace is not just about raising resources for the kingdom of God through our work. It's also about being people of influence for God's kingdom purposes through our work. Then he asks us this question: are we doing what God has called us to do? Thank you, Lord.
That's a good question. And I do, I truly believe that I was in ministry when I was milking cows.
You'll have to explain for almost that 5 years. Some people.
You know, yeah. Before I became pastor here, I milked cows for almost 5 years.
And I'm the one that grew up on a dairy farm. And helped milk cows through my senior year, but he's the one that also milked cows later.
Most everywhere where we are, of course, there were a lot of cows there, but there were also people that came through. Well over 100 different people I worked with in those 5 years, and because I kept track, up to 75, and I know it went over 100. But there was ministry and impartation to those people that came through there. But there is the fivefold ministry call: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That we see in Ephesians 4:11. And there's a scripture in Romans 11:29. This is from the Amplified Bible. It says, "For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call." And that call was in my life to be a pastor. I know probably, I'm not sure when I sensed it first, but I was trying very hard not to be pastor. I guess I wanted to milk cows. That's part of what I was doing there. I was dealing with not wanting to pastor, and about a year before I was called to be pastor here, the Lord really started working on me. He says, how long are you going to do this? Are you going to withhold from the calling that you have there to be a pastor? And it took about a year of that kind of working in my life. Now, I'm not saying this has to be that way. I believe some people, they hear that call and they're excited about it right away and they go for it. But I'm just telling my experience. But when we came to the point, by the time that they did ask us, or ask me to be pastor, and really it's us because we come together. And The Lord had been speaking that to you too, right?
Yeah, for 1 year, I didn't know the Holy Spirit was dealing with Steve's heart. But back then, while we had three small children, and or two at the time, I loved to take walks on our quiet country gravel road. It's no longer that way. So I don't walk on the road anymore.
A lot more traffic now.
It's a busy one. But he began working in my heart to be open to that. I never talked to Steve about it. I really was hoping that it wasn't going to come about. But I reached the point where I knew I wanted to submit all of me to the Lord. I grew up in a church where the pastor did not stay for 42 years. It was more short term, a few years, then there'd be another new pastor in his family. My mom was the lead organist in that church. She worked closely with every pastor. She did whatever she could to honor him with preparations for the music and special music. But my eyes were on the family of that pastor. And I'm a little girl, and then I'm a junior higher, and then I'm a teenager, and then senior high. It was disgusting to me sometimes, the things that I would hear, the rumors about the pastor's wife, what she's wearing, what her hair looks like, what the kids were like, their attitudes or whatever. I just thought that would be the worst thing ever, ever, to have to raise my kids with Steve being a pastor. I mean, I had compassion for those. They just wanted to be normal. That's what they wanted to be. They wanted to be normal. And so you can see I really struggled with the Lord with that. If I was going to say yes to this, I had to mean it. And so I reached the point, I didn't tell him, but I did. I said, Lord, I'll give that to you. And then Steve.
Well, it goes back to the scripture that Scott read earlier. And I have that on my notes here too for this message. It's Proverbs 3:5-6. Mm-hmm. Herb's going to put it up for us. Hear, the title of this section is Hear with the Heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, your spirit person. And lean not to your own understanding. See, when we get caught up in the reasons why or why not to do something, it can really get us off course. I mean, with our mind, and that's what we were doing. You know, we want to, being a pastor is really neat, and we have really loved it over these years. I just need to say that. I mean,
usually. Not going to say always.
There have been moments. There's some here that have pastored, you know. Or listening online, you know that there are moments for sure. But that's true in any ministry too, any other ministry or any career or position. I don't see this as a career though. I see this as a calling, these fivefold. But it says, lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Direct their footnote, make smooth or straight. And sometimes that has to happen. And that's what he had to do in our lives. And the callings that he has from you. Peter got a call. He had a call last night. Mm-hmm. To get out of the comfort of that bed and all that sleep like a rock. You know, out into the dark, out into the cold, into where your back was hurting, and but you were ministering, and life came through you. Love came through you, and it ministered through you. Mm-hmm. And you answered the call.
Linnea made sure you did.
And novella. But see, this is the thing. We all have calls. And a lot of times it would be easier not to. It's not just being a pastor or whatever. But also there's good, so much good that comes if we answer that call to ministry. Here's Billy. You ever heard of Billy Graham? How many have heard of him? You know, I used to say that and everybody knew who that was, but...
You know what? I think I'm supposed to share this. I didn't tell you this. Unless later on you refer to it more. So the Lord worked in both of our hearts, and then I found out the Lord had been working in his heart, and then he actually was asked to be pastor here. And... I personally slipped right into that role of pastor's wife. Our kids were little. The kids loved being in church back then. We didn't even have a nursery. There was no nursery back then. It was just that where the serving area where you'll get your food today, that was the church with the little basement underneath.
Paul Gazelka is the one who initiated the children's church that we have. The one
that wrote this book. I didn't remember that. But then when our youngest son, Jonathan, started kindergarten, I have a teaching degree. And I taught only a couple of years before we started having children. So I started to volunteer in his kindergarten in Black Duck. I loved it. Just, I think it was 1 or 2 days a week. And I loved it. But at one point, the superintendent of the high school approached me privately.
The whole school?
Huh?
Well, the superintendent of the whole school.
Yeah, the whole school system, and just said, Joyce, would you consider applying for a teaching job here? I don't know if she'd been, somehow she knew I had a teaching degree. And I listened to her. I just, whatever. I didn't say anything much, but I went in the car, and I can remember where the car was parked on the parking lot. I put my hands on the steering wheel, and I said, Lord, what would you want me to do with that question? He says, I want you to help Steve in any way you can in the work of the ministry. I was called. At that point in that parking lot by myself, the Holy Spirit called me to assist my husband with the pastoring, however I could help. And so that was my calling, but I need to share this with you. When the Lord calls you, he knows you. He knows you. He knew I had teaching. I love to interact with kids or involve kids in activities, things like that, helping with the decor of the church. But he knew me. I graduated with an art degree. I love color, design, decor. I love that. It's an expression for me. I got to do all of that in these years I've been here. I thought I'd have to be a teacher in order to do part of it, and for sure maybe be an art teacher. So what I'm sharing with you today is when the Lord, you know the Lord's called you, like Adam and Vicky, into missions, it's so much more fulfilling than you could imagine. Because it becomes God-breathed, God-special. That's what I had on my heart before you start about Billy Graham. Yeah, and this is good.
You see, there is someone that God has called to be the next pastor of this church.
Yes.
I believe. And so what we all need to be doing, including those listening online that aren't here today, we need to, together as a church family, be praying together for that person to come forth. I know people were praying for us in that year before, you know, people, intercessors.
Yes.
You know, and just praying. We need to pray together, and that's what we're doing. But yeah, this is Billy Graham's experience. It says, the following is an article about Billy Graham's experience of being called into ministry. You maybe have heard the saying, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And when Billy Graham was asked why he chose to preach the gospel instead of following another career path, he responded, the only answer I can give is that God called me. Called, there's that word again. And I could do nothing else but respond to his call. Many in the fivefold ministry would echo the same sentiment. Like the Apostle Paul, when I said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. While the world knew Billy Graham was an evangelist to the world for many decades, at first he was unsure of what God's purpose was for his life. In his autobiography, Just As I Am, Billy Graham shared the moment he knew he was called to preach. One night, he was calling out to God on the golf course near Florida Bible Institute where he was studying. For some weeks, triggered by a profoundly searching sermon in chapel, I placed those deserted, echoing streets. I paced those deserting, echoing streets of Temple Terrace. In the moonlight, a soft southern breeze stirred the wispy Spanish moss that draped the trees on the golf course. I never felt so alone in my life or so close to God. I walked through the late night hours struggling with the Holy Spirit over the call to be a minister. That was the last thing I wanted to be. And I had used all kinds of rationalizations to convince God to let me do something else. I had the same sense of uncertainty in Charlotte nearly 4 years before, standing in the sawdust shavings of Mordecai Ham's tabernacle. There, I did what I felt I should do, commit my eternal destiny to the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. But was I now being asked to commit the rest of my life on earth to serving him in a way that I did not particularly relish? In the 18 months since arriving at Florida Bible Institute, I exercised some gifts and began to develop some skills that I did not know that I had. See, he grew up on a dairy farm, milking cows, too. I knew that I loved to tell people the good news in God's salvation in Jesus Christ. And on Sundays, I often preached on the streets of Tampa, sometimes as many as 5 or 6 times a day. But in those days, the greatest ministry that God opened up to me was the trailer parks. One of them, the largest or close to it in the country, was known as Tin Can Trailer Park. two ladies there had gotten the permission to hold service, religious services on Sunday nights, but they had no preacher. And they asked me if I could come. They would take up a collection, which I think the ladies kept and used for some worthy project, and they would give me $5, a tremendous help in my meager budget. Now, you got to think, this is 60, 70 years ago, of course. Many people responded to my preaching by confessing faith in Christ and being converted. My teachers and classmates seemed to affirm that this ministry was good and right for me. But did I want to preach for a lifetime? I asked myself that question for the umpteenth time on one of my nighttime walks around the golf course. The inner irresistible urge would not subside. And I know exactly what he's saying. Finally, one night, I got down on my knees at the edge of one of the greens. Then I prostrated myself on the dewy turf. "Oh God," I sobbed, "if you want me to serve you in this way, I will." So he answered the call. The Lord has call and calls for all of us. Will we answer the call? It may get us out of our comfort zones sometimes. But oh, how fulfilling, and oh, how satisfying. I couldn't be more satisfied than having pastored here these last 42 years, because it's what God wanted me to do, and I'm thankful for it. The moonlight, the moss, the breeze, the green, the golf course, all the surroundings stayed the same. No sign in the heavens, no voice from above. But in my spirit, trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. It will get you in trouble. Yeah. Understanding is good, but not if it usurps the spirit. Exclamation point. But in my spirit, I knew I had been called to the ministry, and I knew my answer was yes. From that night in 1938 on, my purpose and objectives in life were set. I knew that I would be a preacher of the gospel. And that he was a preacher of the gospel. Man of God, and you can be a man of God. We are, I believe, you are a man of God, a woman of God. And he would have you to walk in that calling that he has for you. Walk in that call. Walk in that call, and God can use you. If, Tim Waller, do I understand correctly? You, if it wasn't for Billy Graham, you may not be here, right? That's right, isn't it? Because way back in the day, before Tim was born, his father was in World War II. See, this is following the call of God and how it impacts other people. I got a lot more here that we could go to, but I don't think we're supposed to do that today. It's about the equipping to minister and stuff. But Tim's dad, Malin, was in World War II. And he got injured over there, severely injured. God did miraculous things to bring him back to where he could function really well. And he was a teacher over here in Minnesota for many years and stuff. But at that time, his mother knew him. I believe, I don't know if they were dating, I guess, or they knew each other. And They had talked about marriage. And
Tim's mother?
Tim's mother. What school was that she was going to?
Northwestern.
In the cities. And she was just wondering, am I supposed to continue with him or cut off the relationship? And if she should stay with him, with Malin, you know, in that relationship. And so Billy Graham, was he the president then? Dean of Students. So Tim's mother asked for an appointment. She went in to see Billy Graham, sat down across the desk from him, and she shared her story and the situation. Was he back in the States or was he still over there? He was in the hospital. And the question was, I need wisdom, Mr. Graham. I need you to pray for me. I need wisdom. Would you have a word for me on this? If I should stay with Malin through this, because it wasn't looking very well at that time at all for him. Peter, will you come and get this mic? I think I need you to tell the rest of the story because I think I know it, but I think Tim, he's got a lot invested in this, his very being. So we'll let you share what happened in that office of Billy Graham.
Well, when my mother went into the office, she told him the story about Dad and how he had been shot up so bad, and he wasn't much of a Christian back then, and so she was wondering if she should marry this guy. And Billy Graham looked at her and wanted to know his name, and then he turned around in his seat and had his back towards her, after a couple of minutes, which Mom said it seemed like an hour, but it was just a short time, he turned around and said, yes, you should marry this guy. He's going to be a man of God and do many things, even though he's crippled and handicapped, he's going to come through this. So a few months later, they were married. And a year later, here I was.
Yeah.
And see, that's all as Billy Graham answered the call. You see how it impacts other people's lives? Thank you. And that's what it does when you answer the call.
Yes.
Peter impacted. He got out of the comfort zone last night. And he impacted some other lives, at least tried to anyway, tried to help, right? But you answer the call and you will impact others' lives. It ain't all easy. It is coming out of some comfort zones, but God's going to use you. And it could make the difference, you know, in that situation, it could well have been the difference. Of course, God knew, but you see the impact that it can have. And we know those impacts are there. And we know the calling. And Lord, we as a church family, individuals in this family, and those watching online as well, we include in this, we would be those that would not resist anymore if we've been resisting a call. Whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. Sometimes we know there's even a call for a certain day to do something that you call us. So we submit ourselves to you. We yield ourselves to you. for the working of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We want to fulfill your purpose for us. Your purpose. We are the called according to your purpose. And then we know that you work all things for good, even the things that seem not to be. When we're the called according to your purpose, we love you and we yield to you. I pray that for each individual here this morning and everyone listening in or watching. In the name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement said,
amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Mark, got you up here again. That's good.
I wouldn't be taking these few minutes here, but something happened to me this morning. One thing I do sometimes when somebody passes away, like when Malin passed away, I'll write a little letter to the family, just for comfort, for some little insight that I have into that person's life. And just this morning, I hardly ever do this on Sunday morning. I went down into my office and I was looking through some old papers, and I found the letter that I wrote to Tim's family when Malin passed away. It turns out that Malin taught school in the same school that one of my aunts did in Stillwater, Minnesota. And I didn't find that out till I came up here and was able to meet Malin when he lived in this area. I really met Malin when he was on the board with me at Camp Delwater. And he's been Malin was one of my mentors. I looked up to him, I knew he was a man of God. I just trusted those older men that were part of that board. And so what happened here this morning is kind of like, wow, this is important, because that situation that Tim described with Billy Graham and all that, it just all comes together. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. Yes. It's like, to me, it's like a miracle, you know, yes, that these things get connected like this. And one other thing that I got to add is that I was saved at a Billy Graham crusade, 1961. I was 12.
Awesome.
And that's a story in itself, but how these things come together over the years, you got to live a while to see things come together like that. I mean, it's just amazing the way God can call a person, and it has ripples throughout lifetimes.
That's it. Oh, that's wonderful.
That's all.
Thank you, Lord.
That's all the call and answering the call. The call of God is on everybody's life, not to the fivefold necessarily. You're hearing that, right? But there is a call to the fivefold, too. My dad answered the call to the fivefold. Billy Graham had some impact on that, because one of Billy Graham's first, I don't know if they called it a crusade then, but it was a youth event in Holland, Michigan, way back in 1950, I think it was. One of his very first, and it was with Youth for Christ, and my dad was one of the leaders in Youth for Christ there in Holland, Michigan. And so he worked with Billy Graham for putting on this youth event that they had there. And many people came to Christ, and that impacted my dad. I believe my dad already had the call to be a pastor. You know, he was already walking in that. In fact, he might have been going to seminary then, because he had been in World War II. And God's call was coming to him over there, and he worked with the chaplain over there, overseas, an assistant to the chaplain, but it was there in Holland, Michigan. And again, that call that Billy Graham answered. Now we're not going to all be Billy Grahams either. We're going to be Josh Grovers. We're going to be Calvin Johnsons or Anna Drummonds, Judy Fowlers with that call, Cecilia Patton, that call, Arliss Adamson with that call. Some calls are intercession, and that is an important call. It's not up in front of everybody else. A lot of times it's in the closet where nobody sees. But the stuff that's happening in the natural realm is all affected by the prayers of God's people. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of the unseen realm. And so we're going to be prayers. Are we going to be prayers?
Yes.
I think the Lord is calling us to a next place of prayer, next level of prayer. And one of those specific things is the next pastor of this church. I believe that's where we're supposed to, unless you had something else.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We have ears to hear your call. We have a heart to affirm your call.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is calling.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is calling. Go ahead, Josh. You can just start. You know, if anybody would desire to, you can just stay seated where you are and just, you know, Billy Graham was out on the golf course, you know, walking around at night. He talked to God there, and I talked to the Lord a lot on our road too, like Joyce was talking about, but even when I was milking cows, I did. If you want to spend a little time, or if you want to come up front, that's fine too. But just with the Lord, just be with him, that's fine. You just take that time if you would like to. And just pray. There is that thing of making that final decision, that stepping over the log, you might say, for that final decision. And I guess you could say going from the mind over into the heart. Big decisions in our lives. And these are big decisions, you know, to call the decision to follow God's call rather than my way of thinking. And so just be free to do that. And then when we do a fellowship meal today, please stay for the meal and for fellowship. If you like prayer, find somebody to pray with you. We can pray with each other. This is what we've taught for years here, is that every believer is a minister. Minister of God's love. And we can pray. Say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, I remember when I didn't either. God is the one who qualifies and gives the ability. It's by his spirit within us that we can be a minister of any kind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. think most of you know, maybe some of you don't, that Joyce and I, you know, when the new pastor is put in place here, the Lord knows who that is. We don't at this point. For sure. Know who that is. But we intend to continue being a part of this church family.
Yes.
If that's okay with you. And see, if we do that, I gotta behave. And I gotta let the new pastor be the pastor then, see. And if I'm not doing that, you gotta get on my case. I think we'll be able to do that.
Yes.
So, hallelujah.
Yes.
Just like that song, Josh, that you ended with, you just want to stay. You know, when the Lord's presence is among us, you know, that last song you in the set this morning, what was part of that thing? I just want to stay here where you are, or something like that. You know, sometimes that's how we feel, but that's a good thing. And it's the day and the hour when it's time for us. We have a call to bring in the sheaves. In other words, to bring in those that are lost. But also those who have, the prodigals, those that have fallen away. And we get out of our comfort zones when we do that too. But you know what? It's time to do that. It's to take that step. To do that. Our world is in a pretty fragile place right now. You probably saw in the news what was going on in Israel and from Iran yesterday and all that stuff. Well, I'll tell you, we can trust in the Lord in the midst of whatever might take place. Whatever may take place. And there's a lot taking place. But this is where we need to stand together too and love each other and be in a church family, a strong family together. We need to stand together and let nothing come in between us. We need to stand together and let nothing come in between us. Amen. Amen. Well, you're free to leave. Whenever you want to. The ones that are the hungriest, we'll see who's the hungriest. Physical food.